The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. The second half of the program is live, and we started 2 hours ago talking about the college football season. I know that comes as a big surprise. There is a new poll out today, and a new number one team at that position. This is a post-spring poll that Mark Slaybaugh does every year. He's with ESPN. Oklahoma has taken over the number one spot, and perhaps understandable. We'll find out, especially coming from a man who matriculated from UGA. Mark, great to have you on. Thank you so much. And I'm not going to answer your question, but I'm assuming it starts with the quarterback position. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I mean, they've got the guy coming back, right? Spencer Rattler. He has to continue to develop and play a little bit better than he did last year, particularly at the beginning of the year. But Lincoln Riley does as good of a job with quarterbacks as anyone, has the track record to show it. And, you know, I think I had them number three after the championship game. Then they went out and raided your alma mater and picked up three key pieces. So, you know, their non-conference schedule, I think they got Nebraska, Western Carolina, and somebody else. Not sure which one of those is going to be the most difficult, but I like Oklahoma's position.
Yeah, by the way, who didn't raid Tennessee in the offseason, Mark? Let's talk a little bit about there's almost no way to differentiate right now. We're just talking. The goal is to get to the playoff, but you have Alabama second, Georgia, Clemson. I don't want to read anything into it. I mean, we just saw Trevor Lawrence go first in the draft, but yeah, I think we'd all appreciate you kind of going through the top four from Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson right now, just to kind of get your thoughts on why they are where they are.
I mean, Alabama, I kind of just laid it out. I mean, until somebody knocks them off, I just think you keep them first in the SEC. And Nick Saban has beaten, you know, every former assistant coach out there. Nobody's been able to beat him. Georgia hasn't gotten over that hump. I think you can argue, based on what Alabama lost, six first-rounders, Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, you know, especially on offense, that Georgia's maybe more talented. Georgia's got JT Daniels coming back. They've got the running backs. They've got a pretty deep stable of receivers, even without George Pickens if he's not available. But again, you know, Georgia is going to have to beat Alabama, and they haven't been able to do it to this point. Come close, but just haven't been able to seal the deal. And then Clemson, you know, you lose Lawrence and Etienne, and Amari Rodgers was their best receiver. My biggest concern with Clemson is I just didn't think they were very athletic and fast on defense last year, and I think it showed in the playoff. I think Uwelele is going to be fine at quarterback. You know, if they get back Justin Ross, that'll be a big addition, but they probably got the easiest path among those three teams, especially with Notre Dame moving out of the ACC. So let's see how it shakes out. Georgia might have to beat Clemson twice, you know, to get to win a national championship.
Mark, I'm curious about the conversation about Kirby Smart. Then we'll get back to the poll. But I think we all know what he hasn't done. But wouldn't you agree that, you know, he has done a lot, though?
Yeah, no, I've had a couple of radio guys in Atlanta ask me since the end of last season if Kirby was on the hot seat. And I kind of laugh about it. I
mean, that's insane.
Other than Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney, he's probably done as much as anybody since he's gotten there. You know, he struggled the first year, and then he had him within two plays of winning a national championship and ended a 40-year drought until he found Devontae Smith down the sidelines. But they, you know, Kirby knows what he has to do to take it to the next level. And I just think with the way they've recruited, you know, I think he's finally opened it up some on offense with JT Daniels, and we'll be able to see what he does in Todd Monken's offense after a full offseason. But I think they're going to be more explosive on offense. And I think if they get things straightened out in the secondary, they're going to be really good on defense.
I want to skip over A&M's in your top 10, and we all know where they are. But I'm particularly interested in where you have LSU, not only behind the Raging Cajuns, but behind Ole Miss. Your thoughts on them on the field, and I think you know there's an off-the-field question coming here.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a ton coming back. I think they got 18 starters coming back. They're going to have to settle on the quarterback, whether it's Miles Brennan or Max Johnson. They brought back Jake Peets, who worked with Joe Brady there a couple of years ago when they won a national championship. And he knows that offense. Durante Jones is a new defensive coordinator, not the first choice, but that seems to like him. But I just think everything. I mean, they fell off a cliff last year, and it's one of the worst national championship title defenses we've seen in quite a while. And I just wonder if they're going to be able to just flip a switch and everything's going to be okay this coming season. I kind of thought 2 years ago they caught lightning in a bottle with Joe Brady and Joe Burrow, and everything that could go right went right, and it seemed like everything went wrong last year, and Ed really didn't have a idea on how to fix it. So we'll just have to see.
Mark, one of the most difficult stories in the offseason to try to understand better, it's ugly, and that's not debatable, but what are your thoughts as someone who's been one of the top investigative sports reporters in the country for a long time now on what you're seeing and reading and hearing in relation to the off-the-field issues down there?
I was on OTL earlier today on SportsCenter talking about it. It's just, when you look at the depth of it, it's mind-boggling. I mean, the fact that Will Wade's still coaching basketball there is one thing, but you've got two open investigations by the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. You've got two federal lawsuits, one filed by seven women, including tennis players and female employees in the football office, and then a separate one from an associate AD who was in charge of football recruiting. She said she faced years of harassment for trying to stop the behavior. The fact that they kept Les Miles around after what allegedly transpired with him. I mean, I didn't think Joe Oliva was the smartest guy in the world, Paul, but he might have been the guy with the backbone there, because he tried to fire Les Miles. I've been told he was forced out because he tried to fire Will Wade. And, when you got – you've got two investigations. You got an investigation with the NCAA regarding the basketball program and the football program. And when a booster embezzling money from a children's hospital run by nuns is not the worst of those transgressions, I think that probably puts it into perspective.
How, and maybe this is more of a generic question beyond LSU, but you've covered so many of these. You've written about so many. And I know it's hard to predict, but what happens next, and what effect does that have on the overall image of the program?
The basketball situation has really delayed the football program finding out its fate. They've self-imposed penalties. They took away 8 scholarships last year. They banned themselves from a bowl game, for what that's worth, a year ago. I just don't see the basketball investigation ending anytime soon. I mean, I think it could be a year from now before the IRP decides what they're going to do with LSU. As far as we know, they haven't even gotten a notice of allegations. I reported a year ago, got a hold of a document that the NCAA Director of Enforcement, Jonathan Duncan, sent to LSU saying they had evidence that Will Wade talked about or offered or discussed improper inducements to at least 11 prospective student athletes, and Will Wade's still coaching. So I don't know.
And I you said what you did about Oliva, who wanted Miles fired. Now you're reporting that he wanted Wade out, and that may have been the reason he was fired. I mean, doesn't this play into what is being alleged here? And even though it's a different situation, but I mean, how do they get this squared?
Um, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, the NCAA, I mean, the problem with the NCAA right now, and the NCAA takes a lot of criticism, some of it warranted, some of it unwarranted. I just think right now this IARP has just added so many more layers and so many more months to the process that, you know, these, some of these programs do have their hands tied. I just don't know that LSU is one of them.
And finally, Mark, we are into the summer of NIL. We just saw the Georgia governor signing a bill Thursday. The Florida governor has already done this. Just from your understanding of the way the NCAA works and how college athletics works, take us through the timeline here on what do you think is next in this conversation, other than a bunch of states saying we've done it and we're not even sure that's going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many unknowns with it. I hate to say this because most of the time you don't want the federal government involved in these things, but I just think there has to be some sort of federal legislation that puts some uniformity on it, because we've already seen states try to get ahead of the game. We saw what happened with Florida last week when the Florida legislature said they were going to delay it for a year, and then Manny Diaz fought back, and Dan Mullen and Mike Norvell at Florida State, and they said, look, Alabama's going to have it. Some other states are going to put it into effect on July 1st. We're going to be behind the eight ball in terms of recruiting, and it's going to put us in a disadvantage. And I do think it's going to be the wild, wild west. And, you know, I think there are certain places like Tuscaloosa and Athens where car dealers and other people are probably going to be more aggressive and paying these kids, and there's going to be an advantage. So I just think there's got to be some federal oversight or private oversight, not the NCAA, to where everybody's playing by the same set of rules.
Final question. We learned about a week ago that Mark Emmert had been extended, even though his contract, I don't think, ran out for a couple of years. Does that really matter in all this conversation that we're having? Because it seems like that position has just been diluted and discounted over the years.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I was surprised, but I also think, you know, he's doing what the chancellors and presidents who sit on the NCAA Board of Governors want. He's taking all the bullets. So I just, you know, they're probably happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, makes a lot of money, gets criticized, gets blasted by those of us in the media, and he laughs all the way to his brokerage account. Hey, Mark, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. You gave us something exciting to talk about today. Someone other than Alabama, number one in the country. Come back soon. Thank you very much.
That's why Oklahoma was number one, Paul. That's how you talk about it.
We appreciate it. Mark Schlabaugh joining us from ESPN. A lot to digest there. We'll get your reaction to all of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And Jeff is up next in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, before I get to what I really wanted to talk to you about, these Georgia fans are cracking me up, and it's going to be funny all summer, Paul. Do you sense that when most Georgia fans call you up, that they know they've got maybe a decent squad? They're hearing it from all these analysts. But deep down, they really don't believe, because every time they call into you, I feel like they're asking you to validate that they're going to be good. Do you feel that?
No, I think they know they're going to be good. I don't think they need validation like some schools.
I think they truly want you to validate it, Paul, because most teams, whether it's Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, they come in and tell you we're going to be good. You know what I mean? I mean, they're running some smack a little bit. I mean, like Legend and the people that call in, hell, I never run any smack about Ohio State, but you know what I mean. But these Georgia fans kind of like little puppy dogs with their tail between their legs. They really don't want to come out and say we're going to be good. They want you to tell them they're going to be good is the difference what I'm seeing. I just think it's kind of comical. Hey, but Paul, what I really wanted to get your opinion on, I know you've had guests on like Schlaball, these guys, about the NIL and the portal, but how do you feel? I want to hear what Paul Feinbaum thinks, how it's going to affect the game, in your opinion. Is it going to be good, bad, or what's your concern?
Jeff, it's a double-edged sword. I think it's right that athletes get an opportunity, but I also think there are so many doors that they could walk in that will have unintended consequences. So, I agree
100%.
I view it with great trepidation.
I agree 100%. And you know, Paul, I like to talk to you a little bit every once in a while about off the cuff, out of the sports world, and talk a little bit about the economy. And what do you think right now is the biggest problem that employers are facing in this economic recovery? What do you think is the biggest problem we're seeing right now?
Well, I think I just view it from where I am, but I think the big issue is about to be the reintegration of workers into offices. And I think if you're an executive, Jeff, this may not be where you want to go, but you may have to take a long look at the last year and the efficiency and the and measure it versus, do you really need what you currently employ?
You've got a good point, but that leads to what I'm going to say. The workers are wielding most of the power right now.
Right.
Most people are actually don't want to go back to work. The biggest problem this recovery is going to face is getting people back to work. There's all this unemployment, but there's so many jobs out there that people do not want to go back to. They don't want to go back to the offices. They don't want to especially go back. If you look it up, Paul, skilled and unskilled labor has so many vacancies right now, it might shut down certain forms of manufacturing. And it's scary. You look at construction, the biggest problem besides the price increases is the lack of labor. They're returning to the job site.
So Jeff, considering the demand, how do you deal with the supply?
It's brutal. I'm telling you, I'm seeing it daily in different facets of cost increases. A lot of suppliers are starting to even play games where they're taking current inventory and marking it up big time that they don't even have extra cost in because they know their replenishment costs are going to go up. So they're actually trying to make money now on current inventory. But the biggest problem is people can't get people to do the job. And I think a lot of it's because a lot of people are being paid to stay home, basically. They were given this benefit when things were out of control, which is good, but they're not ending it. And this is where I get back to these college coaches. They're going to now have to deal with players getting benefits that in some of the players' minds might outweigh that scholarship they're getting, okay? And I can see these players wielding all the power. How are these coaches going to manage these rosters would be my concern if I'm a coach. You got guys coming and going, but the other problem is, how are you going to manage egos in a locker room when guys are making money and other guys aren't? I think, and the other thing is, these players don't realize coaches are going to get fed up and they're going to use the transfer portal to get guys out of the building. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's talked about that.
Yeah, but Jeff, here's where I think the unintended consequence is very simple, that those coaches who are secure, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Kirby Smart, Ryan Day, Lincoln Riley, are going to prosper. And the ones who are in the middle or at the bottom are going to try to cut corners, and it will blow up in their face.
I agree with you. But don't you agree that's going to be – I mean, be honest with me. I don't expect you to say names, but have you talked to any coaches about how they feel off the record?
Oh, sure. They hate it.
They got to be a nervous wreck about it.
Yeah, no, they and that's why I think Schlabaugh said it. People like Alabama and Georgia are, whether they want it or not, they're going to benefit from it. And for those trying to make a more competitive CFP, this is the worst thing that could happen, because you really if you're below a certain level, and I'm talking about the upper echelon, you're going to get worse, not better.
Yeah. And speaking of the CFP expansion, why don't they just get rid of divisions in these conferences? And then if you have the 1-2, basically what the Big 12 does, then you're going to probably have a decent team. You're not going to get a Northwestern.
Yeah, but
7-5.
Here's where I think the problem with that lies, and it's silly and on one level, but you have so much television inventory. And there is at least a feeling now that when you have these late October, November games between the East teams and the SEC, or whatever the divisions are called in the Big Ten now.
It's just East and West.
Yeah, okay. Losers and legends. I can't get my mind wrapped around that.
don't say losers, man. Come on.
They think those are good television games. I happen to think they're not myself. I mean, are you more likely to watch a Purdue-Maryland game in November if it may affect the standings in whatever division the two are in? I doubt it.
No, hell no. No, you want to watch the good teams play week in and week out. I mean it, but I'll be honest, Paul, and I've told you this before, and you think you basically told me I'm old school, antiquated, and this and that. That wasn't where I was going. I really worry about these new rules, and I truly think these players, I think more players are going to get hurt than more players are going to get help with some of these things that the Jay Billises of the world think they're going to help all these players. Because the coaches are going to arch their back up. If Kirby Smart or Nick Saban or Urban, if he was still in college, and they got burnt a handful of times, they're not going to arch their back up and say, hey, I'll show you who's boss. And if they got the AD behind them that they don't feel threatened by, I see them moving more players out than they move in.
Thanks, Jeff. We have to run. We appreciate it. We have more to do on the program. Brandon Marcello about the CFP a little bit later on. We've had a really fun show tomorrow. Don't forget, some of the biggest names in the SEC will join us from the golf course. And we are coming back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. We are glad you are with us. Let's get to some calls here. And who better to cheer you up on a rainy day than Cat Daddy?
Big Paul, you looking good, sounding good. The woke council culture has gotten into college football and basketball. Listen to this story, Mr. Firebomb. A former walk-on at Clemson for the basketball team quit after just a few months. And his father has now gone on to Facebook saying the reason his son has left the basketball team was because the coach cursed at him. Now, Mr. Feinbaum, I have to laugh at that because I do the seven dirty words you couldn't say on radio and television when I was in the Pee Wee League.
That's funny.
Man, I'll tell you what, the people are just so sensitive nowadays. When I said that thing, I'm telling you, day tomorrow. Well, anyway, that's all my two cents for today. Hope you and your missus are doing well, and God bless America.
Well, thank you very, very much. Matt is up next. Matt, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Am I hearing things in my bad ear, or are people genuinely crying and complaining about how, you know, brokenhearted they are that these coaches are losing third and fourth string people to the transfer portal? You know, I feel so sad, you know, for these coaches that are making $15 million a year and they recruit somebody and they're going to be third or fourth string, and they see the reality of that, and they decide that they want to, you know, maybe make a better decision for their life. It's, you know, very heartbreaking.
Well, especially since, you know, they can never put their phone down now because they don't know, you know, who's coming or going.
Yeah, well, I don't feel bad for the coaches. I mean, you know, just they're not going to be really hurt by this. It's the players that work their whole lives and train when their children and their parents train them, and they work their entire lives training for this moment, and they're not even going to get any playing time, and they want to make a decision to do that. Nothing wrong with that. Now, the paying the players the pay for play, I hope they cap this off and just make it a small stipend, because if these players start making a lot of money and getting big heads and getting pride like they have in the NFL, like they pretty much run the show, it's going to completely ruin college football. I don't know if we're going to have to start watching high school football or what we're going to get that true, genuine passion for the game, cheerleaders, the bands, it's all about the heart and the soul and everything. We're going to lose all that, and I don't want that to happen. Third, I'm really excited about all these states are making executive orders to pretty much invalidate all COVID orders, because COVID is just a propaganda lie, and everybody's waking up to that, and I'm just really glad to hear that.
Thank you very much. Quite an outlook there. Let's check in with Mike, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Mike. How about Greg, who is in Georgia? Greg, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Cole, how you doing, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Well, I just figured, you know, after Jeff's comments, maybe we ought to call it the Jeff Feinbaum Show. I mean, evidently he seems like he knows everything as far as what I've heard what he was saying.
I think every once in a while in the summertime I may leave for a day or two. I think we just ought to have Jeff take over.
I think Jeff ought to just take over. Yeah, he knows it all. Well, I guarantee. But what Jeff fails to realize is, wasn't it a Georgia boy that went up there to get his team on the map?
Right.
And then he wants to tell us dog fans to tuck our tail.
Yeah, I don't think they would have played in the playoffs the last 2 years if Justin Fields had not gone to the Buckeye State.
No, he sure would. And I'm sorry Justin left because, you know, Justin didn't want to wait his turn. But I wish him the best, and I'm going to tell you something else. The Carolina Panthers had a chance to pick him up. They made a huge mistake. They made a very huge mistake because I'm going to say Justin Fields, I've seen him grow up in the state of Georgia. I've watched him play. He's an excellent quarterback, but he just didn't have the patience to wait on his turn. And I hate that. I hate that that he left Georgia.
Hey, Greg, you've said twice he didn't wait his turn. Why did he have to wait his turn when he had an opportunity to go to Ohio State and be the starting quarterback?
Because of Jake Fromm.
I'm well aware of what happened, but you act like Justin Fields was the loser in this. He was in the playoffs two years while Georgia was not.
That is true. But, I mean, when you come in as a quarterback under somebody that's already starting, do you not wait your turn?
No, not when Greg, listen, today's high school quarterbacks are not going to wait. They think they're going to take over. This is not when you and I were in college or in high school. This is a different
right.
This is a different era that we live in.
Well, can I ask you, do you think Georgia made a mistake for not putting him in and taking Fromm off the field?
No. At the time, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of Justin Fields, but
I would have to. Yes.
And that's my only criticism. But beyond that, Jake Fromm was one of the best quarterbacks in the country at the time.
He was. And again, us Georgia fans, hey, we got all respect for him.
Greg, look at Alabama. I mean, Jalen Hurts had taken Alabama to the national championship game, and Tagovailoa said, you know what, I'm going there.
Yep, and dang, he didn't whoop our butt in the second half.
Yeah, I don't think you ever want to see Jalen Hurts anywhere near the Georgia campus, considering the heartbreak that he has caused, both being poor, being bad and good.
Yes, sir, you are correct. But I just wish that these kids would understand that, you know, your time's coming.
But here's the problem, Greg. I'm not being critical. I think
Oh no, I know you're not.
Young players today, they're being told by all these people around them, some legitimate and some illegitimate, that they're the best that's ever been, and they're going, I want to go there, and I'm going to win the job. And it's not that simple. Sometimes it happens, and Bryce Young thought he was coming in last year at Alabama, and he ended up playing behind the guy who was one of the best quarterbacks Alabama's ever had. Nobody saw it coming. And
right.
I mean, Georgia has dealt with it, and the reason Georgia's had to deal with it is because Kirby Smart has recruited at such a great level.
I know, and you know, and sometimes it's just like, darn, it just backfires on us, you know. And
well, there's nothing you can do, because you have to go after the best players, but you also now know, and it will be really interesting to see where this transfer portal rule ends up, whether the SEC lets you transfer within the league or not. There's a lot of resistance right now, because that is going to make things even more chaotic than right now. Hey, thanks for the call. We must go to a break. We have an hour and 15 minutes to go, and we will be back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And late on Tuesday afternoon, trying to get this week going, we go to Augie in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. Well, you know, it does seem like Paul?
Yeah, I'm here.
My power just went out. It sounds like the Battle of the Bulge out there, and I guess we got a stretch.
It is, yeah. The South has been inundated with bad weather the last 2 days.
Well, I guess the only good thing I can say about this is my exorbitant electricity costs will be down for a while, but it is very hot and humid today, so I don't mind paying the extra. But, I've lost my train of thought, but I'm getting it back really quick. Paul, do you find it interesting that the Georgia fans seem to have this unbridled enthusiasm now for the upcoming year?
No, I mean, I think they should. Why would you not have it when you have one of the top quarterbacks in the country, maybe the best, leading your team?
I'm not saying they shouldn't have it, but do you keep up with Griffith and his writings? The man is off the chain these days, and this is all I can say. If they don't win the SEC this year, when are they going to win it, Paul?
Well, I think Danny Sheridan had a similar comment here a couple of months ago, and it got a lot of coverage. But I think they're in a good position, but I don't think this is a referendum if Kirby Smart doesn't win. I mean, he's still playing in the era of the greatest coach ever, and you know, we can list on one hand the number of coaches in the SEC who have beaten Nick Saban lately.
Well, don't get me wrong. I don't see it as a referendum on Kirby. Even if he doesn't win it this year, I think he's still a great coach. I think he's turned Georgia around, but the Georgia populace, the fans, Griffith, the cheerleader, I think if they don't pull this off, and, you know, I know they, I agree with you, I think they've got the best team coming back, but if they don't win it, I think their fan base is going to be deflated. Do you see it any other way than that?
No, I agree, because you don't get too many opportunities like this, and, you know, they've let two get away.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the championship game was like all of the forces in nature were pulling against them. But this has got to be their year. And I just want to make sure that at the end of the year, all the same Georgia tweeters and Facebookers and online social media types are still out there boasting, because I got to say, they're putting a lot on the line by what they think is going to happen. But on another note, Paul, you know who I think is an annoying fan base? And I didn't realize this until the basketball tournament. Michigan.
Well, you just realized, Augie, you're a smart guy. You just realized Michigan has annoying fans?
Well, I didn't realize, I guess, how annoying they were. But after, you know, they beat us, and it's not that we didn't play well for a while. And, again, I'm not a big basketballer, but they came out like they had just beaten Gonzaga. They went on and on about how great they are, and I'm thinking, wow, they beat a team that is okay but isn't great. But, man, were they annoying. I think I have more respect for the Ohio State fan base. And the reason that I think I've lost my perspective, Paul, is that Michigan football has been so down in the dirt and so irrelevant that their fans and their chirping really wasn't noise out there. But, man, they thought...
No, I think you're right. I mean, and I've had to obviously deal with them in the football world, and it's... Especially when you run into them. They're Michigan fans everywhere. When I was in New York every week, I would run into a Michigan fan. And I mean, I'm sitting there in Midtown having to argue with a Michigan fan about what a clown Harbaugh is. And that annoyed me.
Oh, my God. Well, again, I know the Utah fans were on you at one time, but boy, these Michigan people, they're another one that if they don't produce sooner or later, and I mean within the next 2 years, I don't see how they can even show their face.
Well, their problem is that
Michigan is a foot.
Yeah, they've doubled down and they've quadrupled down, and you know, they just have to get it right. And Augie, they're not going to get it right.
I don't think they're going to get it right either. So newfound respect for my friend Jeff in Columbus, who, although we make fun of him, you know, we still love him.
Hey, thanks, Augie. We're up against a break. We still have another hour to go. Your phone calls are welcome at 855-242-7285. Brandon Marcello will join us in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the CFP, what should happen to it, all of that coming up here in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.